All right, so my name is Trelawny Lunsford, TrelawnySford. And here with me I have...
Deshaun Deering, DISHONDEERING.
And today's date is April 30th, 2015.
Agreed.
And what's your graduating class?
Class of 2016.
Okay. Now, let's start. So first I'm going to start off asking about your background. So can you tell me a little bit about your background, your K through 12 education experience?
I was born in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. And there I attended Rainbow Elementary, which is, again, in Coatesville, located in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, until the third grade. Coatesville is a rough area. It's next to Norristown, which are all notorious rough areas. The only positive coming from the town was an NBA basketball player by the name of Richard Hamilton. That's the only thing positive. So my parents decided to move down to Florida. We moved to Orlando, Florida in 1999. And there, I attended the rest of my elementary school and middle school along with high school. Now, we moved, originally when we first moved to Orlando, it was a bit of a rougher area again. But thankfully, when I went to high school, they moved all the zoned high school kids that were in the rough area to a different zone, which was a better area for a high school. So my high school was completely different than my middle school and elementary school, which there was a lot of kids' violence and drugs, and the influence of, there was no positive influence, if I could say it like that. Mm-hmm. It was no influence to get good grades. Mm. But in high school, there was a lot of positive influence. People strive to get good grades, and I changed my act a little bit to kind of, instead of, oh, I could say my sophomore year was my first year of getting A's and B's, and that's when I said, all right, I could get good grades. So my junior year and senior year, I got all A's and B's, and which greatly helped my GPA because I was down below a 3.0 and I graduated with like a 3.3, wow. which helped me out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much different now. In the college, I had a different mindset. I now have a different mindset. But I'm glad to be here at the University of Dubuque.
Okay. Now, I've never actually been to Philly, but I have been to Orlando. And what I've seen in Orlando and in Florida, the communities are pretty diverse. How would you say your environment was in Philly and in Orlando?
Well, in Philadelphia, there wasn't as much of a Hispanic population than Orlando. So I can't say it was immediately diverse with the Hispanic community because... It's almost required in a lot of jobs now to know Spanish working in Orlando. So that immediately right off the bat, you're thrown in a mixing pot with, you know, different cultures where you have to work together right off the bat. Which I really found it out when I was in middle school when a lot of the kids were speaking Spanish to each other, which already allowed me to be in a diverse environment. And as far as comparing Philadelphia to Orlando, it's, of course, diversity. People act a little different as far as weather and things like that. But cultural diversity, it's much different. It was a much more African-American population than anything else in that area. And in Orlando, it's split down the middle with everyone. So we have a lot of nicer parts of town. We have a lot of rougher parts of town. We have a lot of Hispanic parts of town. But the kicker there is they're all integrated. Mm-hmm. So it's a big melting pot. So it's very diverse.
Okay. So you say you finished high school and graduated high school in Orlando, and you came to Iowa. How did you learn about UD?
Good question. I originally, coming out of high school, I was big in aeronautics. I was taking extracurricular aeronautics classes, and I was just very heavily involved in that. So coming out of high school, I wanted to be a pilot. And so with that, I'll say my options were limited, you know, mm-hmm. wanting to be a pilot. Yeah. So with my options limited, searching for these schools, I actually came across the University of Dubuque. It was between University of Dubuque and Emory Riddle in Daytona Beach, Florida. And I chose University of Dubuque because, by all means, somehow, some way, it was cheaper. So Emory Riddle was much more expensive. It was probably like $49,000. And Dubuque at the time, when I came in, was about 28. So it worked out.
Wow. I've heard of Emory Riddle, and I never knew it was that much. My brother was actually looking into trying to go there because he likes that too. That's crazy. How did you actually get to UD in terms of transportation? Like, did you just drive up here, take a plane? How did you get here?
Originally, my first time coming up, I took a one-way flight. Mm. So, funny stories, I never visited UD before I came.
Me too.
Many students from afar, they don't. Mm-hmm. So, I never visited. So, I just came up on a one-way flight. And throughout my undergraduate career, I've been doing that, just taking flights.
Okay. So you never got to visit UD. So which means when you got here, it was everything just hit you at once. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know anything. So what was your first impression of UD and Dubuque as a town?
Well, my first impression is I thought it was nice. It was a very beautiful town, much different from Florida, where it's very flat everywhere, and up here is very hilly, and it was just, you know, you could look over horizons, and it was beautiful. It was very nice. My parents even enjoyed looking at Dubuque. It reminded me a little bit of Philadelphia a bit because of basements and things like that. We don't have basements in Florida, and a lot of apartments are smushed together, and a lot of smushed together kind of townhomes. You see a lot of that in the Philadelphia area. You don't necessarily see a lot of that in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So things are a bit more spread out, and you know, on land, acres. So yeah, it was just scenery, was a little different. The environment was just, it was a shock to the system. And I'm not even going to mention weather yet, because weather, I experienced that later. That wasn't part of my first impression.
I understand. So I know that you did all 4 years of undergrad here, and you graduated last year, and now you are a coach and a graduate student. So what was your major when you during undergrad?
Well, originally it was aviation, and I came to grips with myself that I didn't want to be a pilot anymore.
Mm.
So I changed my major to criminal justice, ended up loving it. My major was criminal justice, and I minored in sociology and coaching. So I got my K-12 coaching license while I was an undergrad as well.
Okay, and now that you're a graduate student, I remember you told me you said you were majoring in communications. Wow, you're just trying to do it all, huh?
I appreciate that.
If you want to share, who is your favorite instructor in your favorite courses?
I could attest that my favorite instructor, I had two. My first instructor that I really liked was Professor Rob Gomerill. He teaches English classes at the University of Dubuque. And being a freshman taking his composition and rhetoric class really opened up my mind to creative thinking, thinking outside the box. Because at the college level, you want to think at a higher level,
mm-hmm.
And you know, more critically. And he really opened my mind through writing to think critically and to expound on virtually any topic. So he was a great influence as far as being a professor. And my last favorite professor, I could say, is Ben Bartels, Professor Ben Bartels. Mm-hmm. He also pushed me to greater heights as far as thinking critically as well. I believe those teachers that get really, dig deep in your mind for thinking, and that's a great teacher. They can dig deep.
Okay. What is your impression concerning diversity at UD?
Concerning diversity at UD, my original impression impression is that many students haven't experienced diversity before coming to UD. Because UD is actually a very diverse school. The only thing is, many people that are here haven't experienced diversity. Mm-hmm. So, because at UD we have members of all kinds of cultures, not just in the United States, but all kinds of cultures across the world. So a lot of, it's very diverse. You could literally, speak Spanish to one person, speak German to another, mm-hmm. and then, speak Chinese or mm-hmm. something like that. And just learn from all kinds of different backgrounds. My first impression was, for me, when I saw that there was a lot of people that came from similar backgrounds as I did, I immediately became comfortable. But many people aren't used to this kind of diversity, so then they're kind of hesitant to get comfortable right off the bat. But that was my first impression. It was very, it was nice to see how diverse the school was, and I became comfortable.
Okay. Do you feel, let's see, I can word this. Like, we all know UD is a predominantly white school. When you came here, did you, feel awkward or anything like that? Like, you didn't have, people like you, African Americans like you surrounding you. You had majority white surrounding you.
And I could answer this by also going back to the first question you asked. It was the same case scenario when I was going from middle school to high school. Mm-hmm. Because in middle school, it was predominantly black. Not a lot of things. Well, a lot of different kinds of influences. And when I went to high school, it was predominantly white. Mm-hmm. And it was a group of us from these schools that came to the high school. So we kind of knew, our backgrounds and where we came from. Mm-hmm. But these guys at the high school didn't know anything, and so we were comfortable within ourselves, but they were hesitant to be comfortable with us. And it kind of seems like the same thing when I came to the University of Dubuque. I found that crowd, that group of people, where we're similar with people with our backgrounds, but then a lot of people that didn't come from that background, a bit hesitant, to kind of be as comfortable. So, it kind of was a relapse in time for me. It was a nice relapse. It didn't quite bother me because I felt like I've been in this position before. But just the same way I handled it in high school was the same way I handled it now. And I just adjusted and tried to get involved with everything I could.
Okay. Do you feel like African American culture is treated differently here, or people try to walk on eggshells around it or anything like that?
I could agree that yes, people do try to walk around it on eggshells. It's a kind of, if I could make up my own saying here, it's kind of like don't ask, don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we have these issues, we have things going on, but as long it's you get the vibe of that if it's not going on here, it doesn't matter. So with that, I can't say it seems like eggshells. It's a sensitive subject, because even if we have a panel discussion or anything, it's the same people coming. It's not the right people that need to be there to make a change. it's only the people that are dealing with the problems, and all they, it's really just the, for lack of better words, a venting session.
Yeah, that I can completely agree with you on that one. Yeah. With that being said, do you feel like the African American culture is respected here?
I could say that the African American culture is respected, but there is always a couple bad apples that kind of give a bad representation, which kind of takes, you know, we could have two steps going forward and three steps going back. You know, we could, I believe that we are indeed respected here on campus, but there's always, you know, there could be something. As far as, well, let me, I'm thinking about the past and not the present mm-hmm. here. Because in the past, we weren't as respected as much because we had a lot of fights going on at UD and things like that. And now, as far as my junior and senior year and things like that, it was less craziness going on, to say the least. But my freshman and sophomore year, it was a lot of bad things going on. It would be fights in between Donnell Hall and Cassid and wow. all kinds of stuff. People, you know, it was just bad. So things like that happen, and, you know, people get in trouble. Black organizations get blamed. But nowadays, I could say, especially after last year, how the Black Student Union was making an impact on campus and won the Organization of the Year, I'm sure that they're seen in a different light, and the respect is there.
Yes, and that's crazy you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question. How do you feel like organizations like the Black Student Union impact how people on campus see African American culture now, and how people that have been here for a minute and have seen back in those days how it used to be, how do you think Black Student Union has impacted the way they look at things now?
Well, it's changed drastically from my freshman year as an undergrad to now. My freshman year as an undergrad, we had a very bad rep. Student Government Association would barely give us money. But that was because we've had... That was during the bad times where we had a lot of accusations going on and a lot of blame going around, and we took the hits, and we were just viewed as just a small pawn on campus. But now BSU is doing a lot of positive things, things that just need to be done on campus. And I'm happy to see that. You know, I was actually on the exec board for a few years myself on the Black Student Union during the hard times. So, and it's been tough. But to see how they're doing now and with the guidance of Ms. Shireen Ellis has really helped, because while we were doing it, we didn't have any, you know, advisor help really.
Wow.
So it was very tough on us to get things done. It was literally just us. But now that we have a lot of help with Ms. Shireen, it's worked out. It's working out great. So they're making a great impact.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I'll just throw this last thing in there, that is making students comfortable. You know, it makes mm-hmm. students feel good to be a part of an organization where they can get along with people, and or at least just come together with people with common similarities and have fun running an organization.
Okay. I really like your take on that. I do. So, like we said before, you're a graduate student. After your graduate school, what are your plans? What do you want to do?
Well, if I could say what I wanted to do, I would like to go on and work for the Tennis Channel and be a personality on the Tennis Channel or the radio and discuss, tennis, if I could say it like that. Or go to law school and finish my law degree and be a legal analyst, since I'll have my master's in communication, and maybe books showings on like CNN or something like that, just for example, and break down court cases or things that are going on, since, you know, having a JD and a master in communication. And maybe practice a little bit of law before that so they could say on the screen former prosecutor. I might even want to continue coaching, move on to a big high level of coaching, gain some insight, and see after that if I could run my own program at a higher level. But it's a lot of options with the master's. So
okay. So last question. I don't want to take up too much of your time. How do you think the courses that you've taken at UD, how well have they prepared you for your future and what you want to do?
Well, I'll break this down into two categories, undergrad and graduate.
Okay.
As far as undergrad, the last classes you take prepare you a lot, but I think what is missed a lot by undergraduate students is elective classes. Elective classes really give you good insights to whatever little things you want to do. So I took a few elective classes, and they just, honestly, they're fun. Like, I took an interrogation class, and I interrogated people. it's fun, but it's really expanding your knowledge mm-hmm. to different things, just in case if you want to take a certain career path, you can say, okay, I have an idea of what I'm doing here. And, you know, my criminal justice class is like constitutional law, and I took sports law, and it's just, they're fun classes, and they really, you know, expand your thinking and your knowledge on certain things. And so they prepare you only if you take the classes seriously, mm-hmm. because you could really get by in anything and not learn anything. But to really suck in the information, you'll be good to go. But as far as the graduate level, it's different than the undergrad. Undergrad is more book work and a lot of busy work. Graduate level is a lot of hands-on work. It's a lot of real-time scenario, you know, work. So everything is pretty much applying to the real world. So a lot of times in the graduate courses, we have to do assignments that relate to something actually going on and something that actually pertains to the career in communication. So as far as now, like, I'm developing a marketing plan to open my own tennis facility, which will help me out in the future if I decide to open a tennis facility. But it's preparing me if I was hired as a marketing expert and I'm put in a position, okay, I need you to market my company. They put you in that position where you have to sit down and create an entire marketing plan for somebody, which in the long run, in a real job, that's mm-hmm. what you'll be doing. Mm-hmm. So it really puts you in that position to, you know, get you ready for a job. So that's what I do like about the graduate courses. They're a bit harder and a bit lengthier, but in the long run, you'll actually know what you're doing. So it works.
That's the end. I've taken up about going on 24 minutes of your time, but I thank you, and I wish you the best and all.
Thank you so much for having me.